We have been studying, my evening, Sunday evening lessons have been taken from the book of Exodus the last couple of months that I've had the opportunity to speak to you. And we've been looking at Moses being called, ever since chapter 3, being called to lead the Israelites out of Egypt. And we, the last time I spoke, we looked at, we've covered up through chapter 8. We have looked at the miracles that, the plagues, miracles that God has demonstrated on Egypt, the water turning to blood, the frogs being everywhere throughout the land, lice, which I think that would have, that and the flies would have driven me nuts. The frogs, the lice, and the flies. And we're now on the fifth plague, which was the livestock were killed. So far, two very common messages has been through this whole passage, and that is one, the obedience to God's word. And it was solely, the message was the same. Moses was telling Pharaoh, let my people go. We want to leave and offer services to the Lord our God. We want to be obedient to what the Lord God has told us to do. Simple as that. And then the other message, the other extreme has been stubbornness to adhere to God's word. Pharaoh has had every opportunity to yield to God's word, and he has refused and has just gotten harder heart, you know, his heart has gotten hardened, and he refuses, has gotten stubborn to yield to God. I remember in second grade, Mrs. Roan was my teacher. My dad handpicked her because of the reputation she had. He knew her, and I'd come home. I couldn't stand her at first. What a nitpicky old bag she was. You know, required you to do this and that every little way. I had homework as a second grader. As a second grader, a few hours a night. My mom was getting a little perturbed at Mrs. Roan. My dad just kept, hold on. Finally, it got down. There was parent conference, and Mrs. Roan explained to my mom, I want it done this way. And I kept trying to cut corners. She wanted it done neat penmanship. If you had big eraser marks and it smudged and all that stuff, you had to do it over. My homework wound up being work that I'd done at school that wasn't accepted, and I'd have to do it again. The moment I yielded to her way, I didn't have homework the rest of the year. When I yielded and did it the right way, I got it done at school. When I did it right the first time. And I think of that. I think of Mrs. Roan here with this in Exodus about the stubbornness of Pharaoh if he would have just yielded to God. We're in Exodus chapter 9, verse 1. Then the Lord said to Moses, go into Pharaoh and tell him, thus says the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go. Have we heard that before? Has Pharaoh heard that before? It's not new. How many times does Pharaoh have to hear this and then suffer at the hands of the consequences of him refusing, but he's given another chance? Let my people go that they may serve me. For if you refuse to let them go and still hold them, behold, the hand of the Lord will be on your cattle in the field, on the horses, on the donkeys, on the camels, on the oxen, and on the sheep, a very severe pestilence. And the Lord will make a difference between the livestock of Israel and the livestock of Egypt. So nothing shall die of all that belongs to the children of Israel. Then the Lord appointed a set time, saying, tomorrow the Lord will do this thing in the land. I find it interesting. You know, you always see, you know, a lot of these people that can, quote, predict. They're very vague. They're very generalized predictions. Sometime in the future, you're going to endure something. No, this was very specific. Tomorrow, all your livestock are going to be affected. All the livestock that are out in the field. Now, keep in mind, there were stable animals. And it appears that it doesn't affect them. It says all the animals out in the field, okay? Especially with the royalty, they had the horse stables for the Pharaoh. They raised livestock in barns and stables and so forth. And we're going to see, and critics of the Bible say, oh, the Bible contradicts itself. No. This specifically says in verse 3, the hand of the Lord will be on your cattle in the field. And it didn't kill every livestock in Egypt, but in the field. So the Lord did this thing on the next day, and all the livestock of Egypt died, but of the livestock of the children of Israel, not one died. Then Pharaoh sent, and indeed, not one of the livestock of the Israelites was dead. But the heart of Pharaoh became hard, and he did not let the people go. He sent people, hey, go check. Go check on those Israelites. See what happened to their cattle. See what happened to their livestock. They come back. They're fine. He's furious at this. And he just hardened his heart. I'm not going to yield to this. Then in verse 8, you have the sixth plague, boils. So the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, take for yourself handfuls of ashes from a furnace and let Moses scatter it toward the heavens in the sight of Pharaoh. And it will become fine dust in all the land of Egypt. And it will cause boils that break out in sores on man and beast throughout all the land of Egypt. Then they took ashes from the furnace and stood before Pharaoh, and Moses scattered them toward heaven. Real quick, I wonder, can't prove it, if it's the furnaces, if those were the same furnaces that they used to make the bricks that they were having to make. I wonder. Just one of those little inquisitive things. Inquiring minds like me need to know, but I don't know. But when it's talking about the furnace, there's lots of fireplaces. Individuals have cooking spots, but talking about those large furnaces that fired the bricks that the Israelites themselves were being forced to make. Wouldn't that be a little ironic that out of those furnaces are going to come these the cause of these boils? Verse 10, then they took ashes from the furnaces and stood before Pharaoh, and Moses scattered them toward heaven, and they caused boils that break out in sores on man and beast. And the magicians could not stand before Moses because of the boils. For the boils on the magicians were on the magicians and all of the Egyptians. But the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, and he did not heed them, just as the Lord had spoken to Moses. Even that didn't affect him. Then the Lord said to Moses, rise early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh and say to him, thus says the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go, that they may serve me. For at this time I will send all my plagues to your very heart, and on your servants and on your people, that you may know that there is none like me in all the earth. Now, if I had stretched out my hand and struck you and your people with pestilence, then you would have been cut off from the earth. But indeed, for this purpose, I have raised you up, that I may show my power in you, and that my name may be declared in all the earth. As yet you exalt yourself against my people in that you will not let them go. Behold, tomorrow about this time, I will cause very heavy hail to rain down, such as has not been in Egypt since its founding until now. Therefore, send now and gather your livestock and all that you have in the field, for the hail shall come down on every man and every animal which is found in the field, and is not brought home, and they shall die. He who feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and his livestock flee to the houses. But he who did not regard the word of the Lord left his servants and his livestock in the field. Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand toward heaven, that there may be hail in all the land of Egypt, on man, on beast, and on every herb of the field throughout the land of Egypt. And Moses stretched out his rod toward heaven, and the Lord sent thunder and hail and fire darted to the ground. And the Lord rained hail on the land of Egypt. So there was hail and fire mingled with the hail, so very heavy that there was none like it in all the land of Egypt since it became a nation. And the hail struck throughout the whole land of Egypt, all that was in the field, both man and beast. And the hail struck every herb of the field and broke every tree of the field. Only in the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel were, was there no hail. And Pharaoh sent and called for Moses and Aaron and said to them, I have sinned this time. The Lord is righteous, and my people and I are wicked. Entreat the Lord that there may be no more mighty thundering and hail, for it is enough. I will let you go, and you shall stay no longer. I don't know if you've ever been, I know those of you in the Midwest and stuff have probably seen your share of hail. Here, I've seen some maybe pea size. There has been some that I've seen ping pong ball size and even bigger. And it is scary and it hurts. It was destroying everything. I can only imagine the size of hail that it would have been to have killed people and animals. And then mixed with that was the thunder, the lightning, and the fire. The fire that was coming with it. I don't quite understand that. You know, obviously it was from God. Now, all of those things are natural occurrences, and they are scary. To see a hailstorm and the thundering. I was backpacking one time, me and my son, and we were about halfway to the destination when it starts raining and it starts lightning. And we're thinking, do we keep going? In fact, we're a little past halfway. Or do we go back? And we're thinking, we're probably a little closer to our destination, so let's just keep going. And lightning struck about 70 to 100 yards away. It was like you shot off a 38 in my ear. It was scary. My son was ahead of me, and when that lightning hit, he literally, he's like this. That's how scary it was. That was the scene all throughout Egypt. Lightning, hail, thunder, lightning. It was the hand of God. And it affected Pharaoh. Go, I have sinned. So Moses said to him, as soon as I have gone out of the city, I will spread out my hands to the Lord. The thunder will cease, and there will be no more hail, that you may know that the earth is the Lord's. But as for you and your servants, I know that you will not yet fear the Lord God. Now the flax and the barley were struck. That was very important. I mean, everything has been important to Egypt. The livestock was very important to them. They had a very harsh life in Egypt. The Nile River gave them life. And so life was concentrated. It's not like you can just go a little bit farther and get more animals. It's a barren desert there. And the flax, they made their linen out of. And of course, the barley they ate and the animals ate and so forth. That was struck, for the barley was in the head and the flax was in bud. But the wheat and the spelt were not struck, for they were late crops. This was taking place by the flax and the barley late January, early February. And so the wheat and so forth hasn't come yet. But the others were affected. So Moses went out of the city from Pharaoh and spread out his hands to the Lord. Then the thunder and the hail ceased. And the rain was not poured on the ground. And when Pharaoh saw that the rain, the hail, and the thunder had ceased, he sinned yet more. And he hardened his heart, he and his servants. So the heart of Pharaoh was hard. Neither would he let the children of Israel go as the Lord had spoken by Moses. After all that, he was ready to yield. I've sinned. Go. You've requested go. Go. Just go. And Moses says, when I get out of the city, I'll make all this stuff stop. It stops. He hardened his heart. Are we as people any different? Haven't you known people? Maybe you've been one of those people at some time in your life where you're swearing up and down, you're turning your life to God. You're in a bad fix. Oh, God, get me out of this, and I promise I am on the straight and narrow. And then you get out of it, and you're like, that wasn't that bad. I got out of it okay. You know, I look at people, and they wonder why I've never drank. I look at people, oh, man, I was so sick. I'm never drinking again. I had such a bad hangover. And then once it gets over, they're back at it. They're swearing off alcohol forever when they're in the midst of the hangover. I'm never doing this to myself again. And then they go right back. Dear God, get me out of this fix where there'd be a health scare, a pregnancy, any sin. Get me out of this. Then they get out of it. It wasn't that bad. And I'm back. That was Pharaoh. He wasn't really, in a lot of ways, not much different than we are. Chapter 10, we see the locusts come. Then the Lord said to Moses, go into Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the hearts of his servants, that I may show these signs of mine before him, and that you may tell in the hearing of your son and your son's son the mighty things I have done in Egypt and my signs which I have done among them, that you may know that I am the Lord. This wasn't just being done against Pharaoh. God wanted Pharaoh to know that Moses and Aaron's God is the God of everything. They had over 80 gods and goddesses. God of this, God of that, God of the, you know, and what, I can't remember what it was. I think it was Ptah, which was like a god of livestock, and a bull was its symbol. That had been affected. The god of livestock didn't protect the livestock. The goddess of agriculture didn't protect it against the hail. Where's your gods? Where's your gods against our God? And this was for Pharaoh, but more than just for Pharaoh. You tell your sons and you tell your grandchildren, your sons' sons, what had happened. That's important for us. It's not just important for that moment. You tell it to the next generation, and to the next generation, and to the next generation. And you know, the funny thing is, we're still telling it today. We're still telling the story today about the power of God. So Moses and Aaron came into Pharaoh and said to him, "Thus says the Lord God of the Hebrews, how long will you refuse to humble yourself before me? Let my people go, that they may serve me. Or else, if you refuse to let my people go, behold, tomorrow I will bring locusts into your territory, and they shall cover the face of the earth, so that no one will be able to see the earth. And they shall eat the residue of what is left, which remains to you from the hail. And they shall eat every tree which grows up for you out of the field. They shall fill your houses and the houses of all your servants and the houses of all the Egyptians, which neither your fathers nor your fathers' fathers have seen since the day that they were on the earth to this day." And he turned and went out from Pharaoh. One thing, locust was not prevalent in Egypt. And God's going to make it to where it can be. Then Pharaoh's servants said to him, "How long shall this man be a snare to us? Let the man go, that they may serve the Lord their God. Do you not yet know that Egypt is destroyed?" So Moses and Aaron were brought again to Pharaoh, and he said to them, "Go, serve the Lord your God." Who are the ones that are going? And Moses says, "We will go with our young and our old, with our sons and our daughters, with our flocks and our herds we will go, for we must hold a feast to the Lord." Then he said to them, "The Lord had better be with you when I let you go and your little ones go. Beware, for evil is ahead of you. Not so. Go now, you who are men, and serve the Lord. For that is what you desired." And they were driven out from Pharaoh's presence. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the land of Egypt for the locusts, that they may come upon the land of Egypt and eat every herb of the land, all that the hail has left." So Moses stretched out his rod over the land of Egypt, and the Lord brought an east wind on the land all that day and all that night. When it was morning, the east wind brought the locusts. And the locusts went up over all the land of Egypt and rested on all the territory of Egypt. They were very severe. Previously, there had been no such locusts as they, nor shall there be such after them, for they covered the face of the whole earth so that the land was darkened. And they ate every herb of the land and all the fruit of the trees which the hail had left. So there remained nothing green on the trees nor on the plants of the field throughout all the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron in haste, and said, I have sinned against the Lord your God and against you. Now, therefore, please forgive my sin only this once and entreat the Lord your God that he may take away from me this death only. So he went out from the Pharaoh and entreated the Lord. And the Lord turned a very strong west wind, which took the locusts away and blew them into the Red Sea. There remained not one locust in all the territory of Egypt. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he did not let the children of Israel go. Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, darkness which may even be felt. Have you ever been in darkness like that? That you know, it gets, you say it's dark, but you can see images and silhouettes and maybe little lights in the distance and stuff like that. But then there's darkness. That you know, you can't even see your hand in front of your face. It's almost like you feel it all around you. That was this. So Moses stretched out his hand toward heaven, and there was thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. They did not see one another, nor did anyone rise from his place for 3 days, but all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. Then Pharaoh called to Moses and said, go serve the Lord. Only let your flocks and your herds be kept back. He wants them to leave their flocks and herds. Ours have been destroyed. Leave us something. I'm the king around here. You go, leave your stuff. Let your little ones also go with you. But Moses said, you must also give us sacrifices and burnt offerings that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. Moses was uncompromising. Uncompromising. We've told you what to do. Let our people go. We're going to take our flocks because we need them to sacrifice to the Lord. Pharaoh finally, after fight after fight, after argument, go, but leave us your flock. No. We're not budging. We're not budging. We're taking our flocks. Why? Not because we want them. We need them to sacrifice to the Lord. And Moses was uncompromising in God's word. Our livestock also shall go with us. Not a hoof shall be left behind. For we must take some of them to serve the Lord our God. And even we do not know with what we must serve the Lord until we arrive there. We don't know what all we'll need. And we're not going to take a chance on needing to do something and not have that ability. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he would not let them go. Then Pharaoh said to him, get away from me. Take heed to yourself and see my face no more. For in the day you see my face, you shall die. So Moses said, you've spoken well. I will never see your face again. And he won't. He won't. Let's end there tonight. We will pick up with chapter 11 the next time I have an opportunity to speak with you. It's the death of the firstborn. You might want to read ahead in Exodus 11. They're getting ready to institute the Passover. They're getting ready to exit through the Red Sea, and it will be as God wanted. If you need to respond to the invitation tonight, everybody here are Christians. You've been baptized. You believe in God. You believe that Jesus is the Son of God. If there is any sin in your life that prevents you from serving God fully, repent. The remedy is simple. Jesus said, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish, Luke 13:3. If it is a a private sin, repent to God. If it's a public sin, publicly repent and get back serving God. If you need prayers of the congregation, this group prays for each other. You do not know how important it is to me when some of you tell me you pray for me. I truly appreciate it because I need it. And people pray for you. We pray for each other. If you need prayers, by all means, share those worries, those fears, those hardships. Lean on your brothers and sisters and let us pray with you and for you. Whatever your need, please come forward while Curtis leads us in the invitation song. Let's stand.